Good morning. We're glad you're here today. I'm going to start a new series today, and it's titled, God's Champion in You. I know there's probably people that came in here this morning, maybe feeling discouraged, maybe feeling defeated, maybe having failure in your life, maybe feeling like a failure. But I want you to know that does not define you, and that does not have to define you. And you don't have to let that define you, because there's a champion in you that God has placed in you, in every person sitting here today. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to begin there in Scripture today. But I first want to talk about a champion. The champion is a man or a woman who, through grace, the grace and the strength of God, achieves great things in the face of great obstacles and challenges. People who have goals and a course to reach those goals. Champions each day build upon the previous day's failures and successes, but they don't dwell on defeats or victories. But they're looking at each day as a new day to strive for the goal set before them. And I want to restate that for you. And if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to take notes. We're going to give you some things to write down, and I may add a few things to that that won't be on the screen. But I want you to get this part here. Champions each day build upon the previous day's successes and failures, not dwelling on defeats or victories, but looking at each day as a new day to strive for the goal that's set before them. And you know, the Christian life is like that. In Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul speaks of that. And he says this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead," he says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God on his life in Christ Jesus. That's a champion. That's a champion. That's the goal of a champion. And we need more champions in the body of Christ. That is, believers who know their calling and they're striving daily to attain what God has called them to. And it's not any select special people. Every person here, sitting here today, hearing my voice, God has placed a champion in you. His champion. Are we building our lives off eternal, his word, the eternal? Are we building our lives, our foundations on cultural thinking and tradition and assumptions and emotional feelings of who God is? You see, it's not a good thing to believe temporal things are eternal, because temporal things are not eternal. It makes for a faulty foundation when we do that. A foundation that won't stand up in the time of testing. A champion builds their foundation on the Word of God manifesting in his or her life. That's the foundation. And so our first point is this. Champions establish firm foundations. Champions establish firm foundations. You see, we have to always, and I emphasize the word always, and for all of us, we have to always allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and examine the motives and intentions that drive us forward. The question is this. The question is, am I building my life for eternal, the eternal, or for the temporal? Am I striving to be an eternal champion, or just a champion in this life? And here's what you need to know. God's desire is for us to be a champion in both, in this life and eternity, for eternity. God's desires for us to be a champion in both this life and the eternal. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. We have to know what he has called us to each day. And we have to choose the path that he sets before us. Not the path that we want or the path that we planned out, but the path that he sets for us. Will there be failures? Of course. Of course. But what we do with those failures is what matters in the long haul. Champions use failures as opportunities to learn and grow and to make adjustments in their lives. Adjustments that will make them stronger and wiser. Stronger and wiser. God will use your failures. Listen to me this morning. God will use your failures to do this. He'll use your failures as a mighty testament of his grace and of his glory and of his greatness, if you'll let him do that. He'll use your failure for that. And my hope over the next few weeks is that the Spirit of God will stir in your heart the revelation that God has placed a champion in you. A champion in you. And that over the next several weeks, you'll discover how he wants it to be released in your life. You see, the kingdom of God needs more men and women to stand up and champion his cause, his kingdom in the days that we live in. Not our causes, his causes. God has great things for all of us. And there's a champion in you right now as you sit here, no matter how young you are or no matter how old you are. And that champion in you is waiting to be released. Champions are not born. They're made. We see them in all walks of life. We see them in business, in the business world. We see them in sports and athletics. We see them champions of equal rights. We see champions for the rights of the unborn. And on and on and on. Some from the past, from history, are easy to note. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. Gary will like this one. Henry Ford. Thomas Edison. Jackie Robinson. Mother Teresa. And others. All through history. Not especially exceptional people, just people that allowed God to release the champion in them and to do great things through them. Champions excel. Champions excel, and they excel because they persevere. They don't settle for the ordinary or just the bare minimum, but they put forth the maximum effort, maximum exertion. Those whose efforts are just minimal, just what you have to do to get by, they rarely finish the race because they don't get very far from the starting line. The thought of failure or the thought of losing just overcomes training and preparation and responsibility that comes with being a champion. And that's what requires us to be a champion. It requires training. Training. Preparation. Praying. And responsibility. That comes with being a champion. And even those people may be just those that are just putting out the bare minimum just to get by. There's still a champion in them. There's still a champion in those people. They've just chosen not to do what's necessary to see it released in their life. Which brings me to my next thought for you. The champion God has placed in us is designed for divine deployment. The champion God has placed in us is designed for divine deployment. It's for us to be deployed in the kingdom of God, building the kingdom of God through his church, by his Spirit. God says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, But the champion in us, when it's released, we begin to understand it's designed for a divine deployment. We're deployed to help build the kingdom of God, to bring others into the kingdom of God, to bring others to faith so they can experience the love of Christ and the riches of God in our hearts. You see, we have an important race to run. Jesus was the all-time champion. He ran his race with maximum effort. Why? Because he was all in for his heavenly Father. He trusted God, and he was committed to the race, and nothing was going to distract him from it. He focused on the prize or the goal that was set before him by God. And that goal was the salvation of all of mankind. Our salvation, our redemption, our freedom to the glory of his Father. Jesus is the ultimate example of what it takes to be a champion. To be a champion that God desires you to be. If you faithfully and you consistently follow his lead, Jesus's lead, you will be a champion for God. You will be. You see, along life's paths, we're giving all kinds of chances to quit before we reach the finish line, or maybe to just slack off when we get to a certain point. Many men and women allow themselves to be defeated after being discouraged or disgraced by indiscretion or misdeeds. There's also those that go through life without a fatal blemish on their character or their integrity. But a noted writer, Menander, wrote something like this. You may want to write it down. He said, "The man who has never lost has never learned." The man who has never lost has never learned. You think about that. You know, I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Our faith seldom grows when the water is glassy, when it's smooth. Our faith grows when the waves are choppy. The water's choppy and it gets rough. And I link it to that. A man who's never lost. You know, if someone that's never lost a battle, never lost anything in life, there's a lot they haven't learned. Isn't that true? They haven't learned grace, the grace of God that's required to get through a loss. They haven't learned humility. God offers opportunities. He offers opportunities to those who desire to learn and to pay the price to be champions. Yes, there's a price. But he won't desert you. He will not desert you. And so there's nothing to fear, and there's everything to gain in taking the steps to releasing the champion in your life that's already in you. Joshua, turn to the Old Testament book of Joshua. It's right after Deuteronomy, back toward the beginning. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. God is commissioning Joshua after the death of Moses, and he's been giving some instructions. And in verse 9 he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Wherever you go. This is our next point. I want you to note this. Champions are not shaken by what seems impossible. Champions are not shaken by what seems impossible. Not because they don't fall now and then or fail now and then, but because they don't give up and quit. Champions in dire circumstances or situations have no sense of fear. It never occurs to them. They stand in the face of adversity and they trust, just as Jesus did, the God who champions them. Champions don't recognize fear. You know, just before those verses, that verse 9, God said, This book of the law, my word, shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. You know, God's champions, a champion for God is prosperous and has success. Now, our carnal minds will immediately go to finances, and that's could be a part of it, but it's much more than that. They prosper in the kingdom of God. They prosper spiritually. They prosper in their faith, in their ministry to others. They prosper in their passion for people, because it's God's passion flowing through his champions. But they meditate on the word. They build the foundation. They make the foundation strong first. You know, there's a heart of a champion beating within every person here today. It's beating right now. Everyone here. You can be a conqueror, an overcomer. You can walk in victory. You can stand in God's winner's circle. And stopping at anything less is stopping short of God's destiny for you. The destiny that he has decreed in his word for you. See, we don't have to be discouraged by setbacks that we encounter. God is on our side. We don't have to be discouraged. He's with us, he says, everywhere we go. He's with us everywhere we go. His word promises that. The psalmist wrote this: "For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death." And then at the end of the book of Matthew, he says, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He says, "I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope." He says, "You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." He's speaking to the champion in you. That's the champion he's wanting to release in us, in all of us. God uses people who are not aware of the impossible to bring about exactly that. Now, let me say that for you again. I know when I wrote it down, I had to look at it and say, "What did you mean, Leonard?" And I said, "God, what did you mean you gave that to me?" God uses people who are not aware of the impossible to bring about exactly that. You see, we look at something and we say, "That's impossible." Or we think that's impossible. Might be a physical affliction, a disease. Might be a financial situation. Might be a relationship situation. But God uses people who don't look at the impossible to bring about exactly that, to bring about miracles, to bring about the manifestations of the kingdom of God. And that doesn't mean we go along foolish and blindly, not making sense of anything. That's not what it means. It's talking about faith. God uses people that by faith don't see the impossible. And we see this as connected with, think about George Washington. Those of you that, I don't know if they still even have that in history books today, probably not in schools, but I mean, the impossible odds they fought against. Impossible. But George Washington didn't see the impossible. And God used him to bring about exactly that. You think about in athletics and sports, those of you who have ever been connected with that through the years, there's always an underdog. And there are times when an underdog wins it all. Because those people, those athletes, don't see the impossible. They don't recognize the impossible. They're looking for the possible. And God's champions look for the possible, not the impossible. If you think it's impossible to become a true champion in your own life, then I want to challenge you today. And I want to encourage you today to make the effort. Make the effort and see what God does. See what God sees. Effort, listen, effort always wins over assumption. Might want to write that down. Effort always wins over assumption. Because when we look at something, if we see the impossible, we assume it can't happen. But if we take a step, we make the effort, and we believe God and we trust God, effort will overcome assumption. You see, we're better off not realizing something's impossible and trying it than thinking it's not possible and never trying it. Amen? We're better off thinking something, not realizing it's impossible and trying it than not ever trying it. And that reminds me of Peter, when all the disciples were in the boat and Jesus came walking on the water and they thought it was a ghost at first. And Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, call me to you." And the waves were splashing against the boat and whipping, and he said, "Come on, Peter." Peter didn't see the impossible. He didn't recognize the impossible. And he stepped out of the boat. And he began to walk on water, not recognizing the impossible. Yes, did he start to sink? Yes, only when he took his eyes off Jesus. And he began to look at the impossible. And think about the guys that didn't get out of the boat. Who was better off? Peter, who they thought made a fool out of himself because he thought he could walk on water, or them? Peter was better off because, you know what? They have no idea what it's like to walk on water. But Peter did, didn't he? That's a champion. Did he fail? Yes, but because he failed to see the impossible, when he did fail, Jesus picked him up. And that's what Jesus does with the champion in you when it's released. Life on earth is very much about legacy. Legacy. We average, most people, 70 to 80 years. Those that are fortunate go a lot longer. But we average 70 to 80 years as humans on earth. It's a brief time, really. What memory will you leave? You see, if you're still breathing today, it's not too late to be a champion. But time's ticking. So we need to realize, we need to seize the day. We need to seize this time in our life. We really don't have time to waste on the trivial or the temporal. See, being a champion for God requires obedience to God. It requires us being obedient to His agenda, not our agenda. It requires obedience to His Word, trust in His promises, and it requires staying in His presence. That's what being a champion requires. Obedience, trust in the presence of God. You see, a great destiny is ahead of you on a path that's paved by God. A God who loves you more than can be measured. Turn, if you will, to Zephaniah. And that's a book that everybody reads every day, I know. And so I'll give you a little hint. It's just not too far before the New Testament. And it's not Zechariah, it's Zephaniah. And it's only about three chapters, so it's only about a page and a half in your Bible. It's on page 750 in mine, if that helps. Zephaniah chapter 3. This is a time when those electronic devices come in really handy because you plug in Zephaniah and it finds it for you, right? Of course, if you read your Bible a little bit at home, you kind of sooner or later you can just kind of be able to just flip through and find it like I do. Well, it's somewhere about here. Okay, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. Hear that, people? The Lord your God is in your midst. Right now. Right now. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. God will rejoice over you in gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He who will rejoice over you with singing. God sings over you. I want to share something with you. God has placed a champion in you. Remember earlier I said there's probably those that came, some came here discouraged today. Go ahead and put your notes away in your Bibles. We're going to close now. Worship team, if you want to come up. But I want to share this with you. I said earlier, a few minutes ago, there's a champion in every person sitting here today. I don't care what you think about yourself. Doesn't matter. I do care what you think about yourself. I want you to think what God thinks of you. That's why I'm telling you this. And what I mean is, it doesn't matter what you think about yourself. God has placed a champion in every person sitting here, youngest to the oldest. And he's waiting for that. He's wanting to release it in you. You say, well, I'm 70, 80 years old. I'm burned out, worn out, and tired out. Champion's still there. There's one person somewhere, one person at the appointed time that you can influence for God. That's the champion in you coming out. But you got to release it. You got to believe it's there, and then you got to let him release it. Get into this word. Doesn't matter how young you are. Young man, there's a champion in you. Champion that God has placed there. Not man. You got to let God release it. There's a champion in you, Tiffany. God wants to release it. Don't look at failures. Don't look good days or bad days. There's a champion in you he wants to release. Let him do it. Seek him. Let's bow our heads together. Those that came today, maybe you're discouraged, maybe defeated. Maybe, as I said earlier, you failed or you just feel like a failure today. I want you to listen closely. You are not defined by that. That is not your destiny. God has placed a champion in you the same as everyone else in this room and other places. But very few of us believe that. But today is a new day. Today is a new day. And God wants you to begin today to recognize that he has placed a champion in you. And he wants it released in your life. Let him do that. The altar's open. If you want to come, if you need prayer, we want to pray with you, pray for you. I know there's health needs here. I know there's spiritual needs here. And that's part of being a champion. Part of being a champion is humbling ourselves before God and being able to recognize and admit our need before him and not let pride keep us on our butts. And from coming before him or coming with someone and say, I need prayer. I need you to pray for me. You don't even have to say what it is. God brings a church family together, to pray for one another. And that begins to bring the champion out in this people. And so use this time. You come and pour it out before God. Pour yourself out before God. Come and have one of us pray for you, whatever it is. Begin to release. Let God release the champion that's in you. And there's no superstars here. We're all the same. We're God's sons. Our daughters are seeking to be. but only we can let him release the champion in us. Do that today. Do it today. Thank you. Father, we thank you that you have placed a champion in each one of us. We thank you, Father, that you're just waiting to release it in us. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you. We can begin to step into that arena that you have designed for us. We can begin to step into that divine deployment. As your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and asks us to step forward, to begin to step in your ways, in your grace, in your love. As we begin to take hold of what you desire for our lives, and that's to be a champion in your kingdom, a champion that's helping build your kingdom. Father, we think of champions as glory hounds. But God, your champions only seek your glory and only give you the glory for anything that we do. So, Father, build that in us today. Stir it up in us today. Even the one that thinks and sees it as an impossibility. Father, show them with a vision that there's a champion in them that you want to release. Father, thank you for the healing that's taking place in this place today. Thank you for your touch in this place today, your presence. Father, thank you for your word that is truth and foundation and strength and life-giving. Thank you that you're changing lives even now as your word is pronounced in the assembly of your people. We praise you, Father. We honor you today. And we thank you in the strong and the powerful name of Jesus. And Father, as we worship you with our tithes and offerings, we step in those steps of trust, steps of provision, and steps of protection that you promised us. And so, God, give us faith. And give us faithfulness as we honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen.